Good morning. Glad to have everybody here. Before we get started, some of our people that came in from the south let us know there was a big multi-car accident down on 23 down by Pilot, just south of town, and they've life-flighted people out of there, so we need to be praying for those folks. Pray that they all did well. I figured after 10 years, I probably ought to preach a Mother's Day sermon. but before I do, I'd like for those who are here, who are mothers, if you would, to please stand, just because that's what I do. I pick on mamas on Mother's Day. Amen. Now, those who are grandmothers, would you please remain standing? All right. Now, those of you who are great-grandmothers, would you remain standing? Hey, that's right. And you got a great-granddaughter with her. There you go. Those who are great-great-grandmothers. Those two, yeah. All right. Awesome. We owe you a lot. And the reason why I chose this year to speak on Mother's Day is because we just had a family day. You know who made family day work? Our mamas. Kathy had all her kids here. Nancy had all her kids and some grandkids and great-grandkids here. Others had all their kids, you know, had a bunch of their kids here and family. And the mamas made that happen. Thank you all for bringing your kids. That was awesome. We're talking today about a young man, Timothy, the one that Paul calls his son in the gospel. And so if you have your Bible, we're not in 1 Timothy, we're in 2 Timothy. We got two Timothys, we're in the second one. The last letter that we have of Paul. He writes this one, by the time he gets to chapter 4, he's ready to be offered up and says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knows he's going to die soon, and he does that year at the hands of Nero. Well, here, writing to Timothy, he's going to tell us about a contagious faith that Timothy is blessed by. Let's take a look. Okay, Timothy was affected with a very contagious faith. We'll start in verse 5, and then we'll back up to 4 and that later. Verse 5, Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And if I am persuaded now, and I am persuaded, now lives in you also. He says, the faith you have, you caught it from your mama, who caught it from her mama. Okay, it's contagious. If you want the mumps, you hang around with somebody that's got them. Okay, if you want the measles, you hang around with somebody that's got them. If you want a sore throat, whatever it is, certain things tend to be contagious. One of those is a godly faith. When you hang around with people who have a godly faith, what happens? Hopefully, you learn from them the faith that you need to have. Well, Timothy learns this from Mama, who learns it from Grandma. Now, how can grandmothers and mothers pass on their faith? Well, first, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. What's that say? Number one is example. In other words, do as I say, not as I do, never works. Truth? Okay, when you catch your kids doing things wrong that you did, isn't that terribly sobering? I mean, I cried first time I saw it. I thought, oh God, please help me control my temper better. Help me to be the example I need to be. Remember that? Okay, so if you want faith, you have to hang around with people that has it. So Eunice and Lois, her mom, passed on their faith to Timothy, and not in an easy environment, because Eunice is married to a Gentile who doesn't even worship God. And so She has to raise up her boy. Now, how well are we infecting others with our faith? Now, if you want to infect others with your faith, the first thing you have to do is live it. The second thing you need to do is live it next to them. Okay? If you don't have somebody with you, if you're just living your faith, remember we sang the song? Do you hide it under a bushel? When you're living it by yourself, you're hiding it under a bushel. We're supposed to be the light of the world, not hiding in here. In here, we're still all under the bushel. They don't know what we're doing in here. We could be handling snakes. Thank God we're not. Okay? but the thought is, we need to have that infectious faith that he enjoyed. Now, back up to verse 4. The faith Timothy learned was not just a logical faith, it was an emotional faith. Well, it doesn't say that. Let's read verse 4. And hopefully with my glasses off, I can see it better. There we go. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Recalling your what? Recalling your tears. Oh, real men don't cry. What did Jesus do in Luke 19 when he saw Jerusalem? He wept over it. What did he do in John 11 when his friend Lazarus had died? He wept, right? Jesus wept. So do real men cry sometimes? Yeah. Well, in this situation, he gets this from mama. My grandmother, I tell people her eyeballs were built too close to her bladder. She just cried all the time. Okay? I mean, you'd go to see her, she'd cry. You'd leave her, she'd cry. That's just what, that's the way she was. And as I get older, you and I start noticing, I'm getting more and more emotional. Okay? Having an emotional faith can be contagious. Now, why is it important that our faith is also emotional? In Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision amounts to anything. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. Your faith has to be a loving faith. Your faith has to be emotionally involved with Jesus, emotionally involved with your brothers and sisters in Christ, emotionally involved with people out in the world that you want to be your brothers and sisters in Christ. It has to be an emotional faith. And so Paul says, and I like that, when you think of somebody, what kind of a relationship do you have with somebody if you recall about them their words? Well, they talk. You recall about them they're listening, okay? They like to spend time and pay attention. You recall about them their tears. Timothy's an emotional guy, isn't he? Timothy is open with his emotions. Where did he learn that? Well, he says in the very next verse, you got your faith from your mama and your grandma. And the faith you got leads you to I'm reminded by your tears. When I think of you, I think about you crying. You know people like that. And that's a good thing. Now, what's going to help us love in the ways we need to love? Okay? He learned it from mom and grandma. But what's going to help you to love like you need to love? Well, you look at Jesus. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Love doesn't start with us loving. Love starts with God loving. The more I see God's love, the more it grows in me. If you're not in here looking at the love of God, you're not going to develop much. And so I need to learn the love of God so that it becomes my nature. Now, how can we help others love in ways they need to love? Again, do as I do. Not as I say. Do as I do. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. We have to be that example. And if we're not being that example, it's not working. Let's go on. The faith that Timothy possessed was also a growing faith. Now, we started in chapter 1 Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 now. We're acquainted and have had a lot of sermons preached out of the last two verses, verse 16 and 17, but we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. The faith Timothy possessed was a growing faith. Look at verse 14. He says, it says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Okay? Consider the faith, continue the faith that you've learned and become convinced of, because you know from whom you've learned it. Where did he learn it? Well, he learned it from mama and grandma. Where else did he learn it? Who's been with Paul in prison? Who's been with Paul on his journeys? Who's been with Paul going around all these places? He learned a lot of it from Paul, didn't he? In other words, the faith you got back then, is that all you got? In other words, did you learn Bible stories from mama and grandma, and then you became an adult and you quit studying your Bible? Okay? What happens if faith doesn't keep growing? Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 about all the Christian virtues, add to your faith, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience. You know those. It says, if these qualities are in you and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful. Okay? If those qualities, nobody has them perfectly, but are they supposed to be increasing? In other words, it's not where you are, it's your direction of travel. If I'm getting closer and closer to God, that's a good thing. If I'm just kind of stagnant, just staying there, do you coast uphill? Nope. My buddy had a 65 Mustang. We jacked up the back end, put G60 scat tracks on the back end of that thing, posi rear end, jacked thing way up, and it still wouldn't coast uphill. Okay? You don't coast uphill, do you? You coast downhill. Okay, if I want to get close to God, I've got to grow towards that. And so your faith needs to keep on growing. You're supposed to keep on moving closer and closer to God. You don't just coast. You grow closer to God. And so faith, the faith that Timothy had, yes, he got it from mom and grandma, but that was just the starting. That was the foundation of it. And now it continues to grow as he spends time serving with Paul. Now, where all had Timothy learned his faith? Well, in Acts 16, when Paul comes by on his second missionary journey with Silas, because he and Barnabas had a problem, but when they come through there, they stop, and who does he pick up? He picks up Timothy. And Mama lets him go, because she thinks it's going to be good for a boy to be hanging around Christians like Paul and Silas. And so he takes off and goes with them. We need to have relationships that build our faith. When our oldest son got done with high school before he went to college, we sent him to Argentina for a year on the mission field. He got so excited about it, he wanted to come back and got a degree in missions. He went back and got so excited, he married a girl from Argentina and blessed our family. but he also helped some people down there, but he came back with the best thing Argentina had to offer. but the thought is, we wanted him to be in relationships with people that helped his faith grow. What do you want for your kids? You want them in relationships that helps their faith grow. What do you need to do for you? You need to be in relationships that help your faith grow. You hang around with people that have faith, because that helps you grow yours. Now, how well are we continuing in the things we've learned? He says, Timothy, I want you to continue in that faith you've learned. Well, to continue in it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've got to get in this book. I've got to have time in here. And so Paul encourages Timothy towards that, and in so doing, encourages us. Now the next verse, verse 15. Timothy's faith was supported by a lifetime in the Scriptures. A lifetime in the Scriptures. Now he goes back and recalls what we talked about earlier in chapter 1. He mentions it again here in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, remember those from whom you've learned it, verse 15, and how from infancy You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He says, ever since you were a little baby, you've known that. I remember one of my son's first words was Bible. Because in Bible class, he was learning the word Bible. The Bible, we read the Bible. It's one of the kids that learned songs in our nurse's class. And so he learned, that's one of his first words. What are your kids' first words? From infancy, Timothy's known the Scriptures. When we were in class, we had a class with Dayton Kazee on the Christian home. And in class, I asked, because we were talking about having family devotions. I says, when should we, I said, my wife and I have family devotions. When should we invite our son to join us in the family devotions? He says, wrong question. He says, when should you go to the crib and have your devotions there? In other words, from infancy, you want them to be amazed by God. You want them, okay, you can get on Facebook and you can see dogs bowing their heads and praying. Truth? Okay, and by the way, sorry. All right, we never trained our dogs or cats to do that. But anyway, you can get that to happen with dogs. That's not important. What's important? Doing that with children. Do you want your children to talk to God and to want to talk to God and to notice the relationship and the awe and the wonder of God? Then you do that. He says, from infancy, you knew the Scriptures. You learned all the way. And so, they've got, I don't know why in this picture, but it's the best picture I could find. They made Grandma look like the Wicked Witch in Snow White. But anyway, anyway, Grandma and Mama sit down with him from childhood and teach him the Word of God. One of my most vivid memories is my grandmother reading the Scriptures every day. Three times a day with her knees on a little rug that I have in the front bedroom. Okay? And she just prayed and prayed and read God's word. And, okay, I want my kids to know that. I want them to have that from infancy. I want my grandkids to have that from infancy. Timothy knew the Scriptures all his life. Now, how diligently are we gaining saving wisdom from Scripture? It says, notice what it says it's able to do in verse 15. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Are you studying the Scriptures that make you wise for salvation? There's a lot of Scriptures we can learn that don't have anything about being wise in salvation. You know, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brother, and Judah begat Perez by Tamar, and Perez begat Hezron. Okay, we know those, all right? That's not stuff that makes you wise in salvation too much. I don't know, maybe it does. But what about wisdom, Scriptures that make you wise for salvation, that show you how to become a Christian, to show you how to walk closer to Jesus, to show you how to practice the Christian life, and not just wise unto your salvation, wise unto salvation that helps others have that salvation. Because as you share it with others, a faith worth sharing is a faith worth having. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, 31 and 32, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Okay, and so we need to have a faith that is wise unto salvation, not just for us, but for others' salvation as well. Now, what are we doing to encourage others to gain wisdom from Scripture? What do we talk about? Well, it's going to be 87 degrees later this week. Well, boy, have you seen how the way Cavs are doing in the playoffs? Have you seen? What are we talking about? I know somebody can walk on water. That's pretty good stuff. Okay? I mean, what are we talking about? We need to be talking about the things that are really important. And he died for my sins and he was raised again from the dead. What are we talking about? There's nothing more important. Nothing more important. And so if we're encouraging others to gain the wisdom from Scripture, wisdom unto salvation, wise unto salvation, then we've got to talk to them about God and ask, sit down and read with them. Study with them. You don't even have, you can just sit down with them and read. You, I don't know how to do all those. You don't have to know where all the verses are. Sit down and read the book of Mark. Because it shows them the life of Jesus. You don't want to be convinced. You don't want to be convinced with doctrine. You want to be convinced with a person, and the person's Jesus. And you see how amazing Jesus. You get to the end of the chapter; it's got its own commercial. It talks about repenting and being baptized. Believing and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Right, Mark 16:16. And so it always tells them how to become a Christian. But we need to be with them in the Word of God so that they can learn a wisdom from the Scriptures to be wise unto salvation. Now, still in 2 Timothy, we are called to appreciate and then to pass on a contagious faith. Back up to chapter 2, still in 2 Timothy. We've been in chapter 1, chapter 3, now we're back up to chapter 2. He says here in chapter 2, again talking to Timothy, Paul says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. I'm used to that in another translation. But the things you've learned from me among many witnesses, the same commit also unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay? Paul says, I taught you and a bunch of other people. And you learn that stuff. He says, now you teach other people, and the people you teach, they're going to teach other people. So that way the church isn't just adding members. The church is multiplying, which is different. You can add members, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Or you can multiply, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. 256, 512, 1024, 2048, 4096, 8192, 16,000. It just keep multiplying, okay? You keep multiplying. If the church multiplies, then it grows, right? And so I need to be helping people come to Christ who help other people come to Christ. That's what Eunice did. That's what Lois had done with her. That's what they did with Timothy. And that's what Timothy does with the whole church in Ephesus. And Paul's helping in that task. So we're called to appreciate and pass on a contagious faith. Now, what are our responsibilities with the contagious faith we've received? Not hide it under a bushel. If your faith is not worth sharing, it is not worth having. If it's not worth telling somebody else about, are you ashamed about it? You know, what do you talk to your friends about? We don't like feeling this way. In fact, we don't like this feeling this way so much, we took the songs out of our songbooks. We didn't, but other people did. You know why they took them out? Because people don't want to sing them. You have songs they don't want to sing? If you've been in church a while, when in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls would be if any lost one there would cry in deep despair. What? You never mentioned him to me. We took that song out of our books. We don't like singing it. We don't like feeling that way. You never mentioned him to me. I can't imagine standing at the throne and having my buddy there and say, well, Jack, you talked to me about the Indians. You talked to me about the calves. You talked to me about all. You never talked to me about Jesus. You let me go and you know, come to eternity without ever learning about Jesus. I thought you loved me. I don't like thinking those thoughts. Okay? Then don't live in a way that you have to think those thoughts. You tell people about Jesus. You're excited about Jesus. You share it. Yes, you share it with your children and your grandchildren, like Lois did and like Eunice did. But you also share it with others, like Paul tells Timothy to do here in chapter 2, verse 2. The things you've received of me among many witnesses, the same you commit also to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So it multiplies and multiplies. It grows and it grows. That's what it's supposed to be as the body of Christ. Now, how can we better infect others with our saving faith? That's where we started. It's where we finish. You got it from others. You have to be with others with your faith. And talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about God. Well, they'll think I'm crazy. You are crazy. We're a peculiar people. Some of you are a little more peculiar. No, I'm saying. But the thing is, we're a peculiar people. We're God's people. We don't act like the world. They accuse us of turning the world upside down because they don't know it's already upside down. And we're turning it right side up. That's who we are. So, to be diligent, that's our call to action. To be diligent in receiving and then in sharing a contagious faith. Okay? I need to be where I can help grow that faith. If you're there, you know, if you're not where you hang around with people that help you grow in your faith, you know what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? Be not deceived. Don't be fooled. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You hang around with the dogs, you get the fleas. Okay? You don't hang around with people that their lives are given to sin without learning that. So, are we intentionally passing on our faith? Do you pass your faith on to others? Are you intentionally doing that? Do you want others to know how amazing Jesus is? Are you so amazed by Him that you want others to be amazed by Him? So are we passing on our faith? How is our faith mingled with love? If you remember him, Paul says, I remember your tears. You learned an emotional faith from your mama. You learned emotional faith. She learned emotional faith from her grandma. And so when I think of you, I think of you just crying. Do you love? The only thing that matters is faith. Working with love. So, how contagious is our faith? Are we infecting others with what we have? Do people hang around with you and become Christians because they hang around? Do you live in such a way that people who want to get close to God want to get close to you so that they can? That's the question. I want to live a life so that that's the case in my life. Now, how are we continuing to feed our faith? Paul says, I want you to remember from whom you've learned it. Yeah, you learned some from mama and grandma, a lot of it. That was your foundational faith. But you learned some more from me, and you learned some more from hanging around with Barnabas. You learned some more from hanging around with these other guys. And because you hung around with them and you learned their faith, that helped you get your faith kept on growing. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, you have a faith that helps you grow. And you hang around with people that have a faith that helps yours grow. Now, with whom are we going to intentionally share our faith? He who aims at nothing hits it with amazing accuracy. Okay? Find something to aim at. Who are you going to talk to about their faith? Get a piece of paper. You don't have to right now, but that's not a bad time. Write down three names on it. Who are you going to talk to this week about how amazing Jesus is? You don't have to preach a sermon. You just a little bit here, a little bit here. You know, Isaiah 28, verse 13. Line upon line, line upon line, teaching upon teaching, teaching upon teaching. Here a little and there a little. You don't dump the whole load of seed in one spot. You know, you put a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and it grows, right? With whom are we going to intentionally share our faith? Who have you written that? Who have you written down? Who are you going to write down that you want them to be close to Jesus? So, how can we help? If you need to be closer to people that will help you grow in your faith, come talk to us. We'd love to sit down and study with you. There is no greater joy than assisting in the delivery of a babe in Christ. There's no greater joy than knowing that your children walk in truth. There's no greater joy than just watching people's eyes light up when they see how amazing Jesus is. So live in such a way that that happens. Hang around people so that that happens there. And you don't all do it. You don't do it by preaching. Do you like people preaching at you? Then don't preach to them. Do you like people to ask you questions? Do you like to other people ask other people questions to find out what's going on? Ask them questions. And let them talk and share where they are. Supply the Word of God. Jesus did so much of His teaching with asking questions. And He did so much, and then He supplied the Word of God for them. That's what we do. Let's work on that. So, if there's some way we can help you to grow in your faith, if there's some way we can help you to share that faith with others, if you're not yet born in Christ, it's hard for you to want to encourage someone else to be born in Christ. You know, hey, you want to read this book? I never read it, but somebody said it was good. No. You have to participate if you want to be influential. So if you're not yet born in Christ, it's time. If you have been born in Christ and you need us praying with you, whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.